for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Researchers at the University of Utah say the venom from a cone snail found in coastal waters may be useful in treating some human pain. Those findings are published in a current journal from the National Academy of Sciences. South Korea reports that North Korea is experiencing an outbreak of scarlet fever, which threatens to become an epidemic. U.S. Airways is making an $8 billion bid to merge with Delta Airlines once Delta comes out of its bankruptcy. If the deal goes through, the new combined airline, which would create the number one transatlantic carrier, would operate under the Delta name. Former Hewlett-Packard Board Chair Patricia Dunn has pleaded not guilty to four felony counts of identity theft and fraud in connection with the company's in-house spy scandal. She is one of five people charged in that case. Sony is acknowledging that its new PlayStation 3 is not able to play some of the games designed for earlier versions of PlayStation, despite claims that it would be fully compatible with the older generation games. And Wachovia expected to close up to 100 branches over the next 2 years to focus on faster-growing markets and businesses in California, Texas, and the Southwest. Next year, the bank expects to open at least 25 new branches in Southern California. Gold is trading at $622.20 an ounce this hour. Light sweet crude is at $58.94 a barrel. All the markets are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 32 points at 12,250. NASDAQ is up 14 at 2444. And the S&P 500 is up 4 at 1397. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walt.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. You've heard about the questions of separation of church and state. Many times these come up in public schools. Should we have prayer in public schools? Should we have teachers that try to promote a certain religion? Generally, the answer is no. But have you heard about it in the military? What do you think of the United States military, where people are trying very hard, both in the ranks and apparently at the tops, to convert people to a certain brand of evangelism, evangelical Christianity? And is anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish bias, rampant in the military? Is it also rampant against non-believers? Should the military be used as a way, simply as a fighting force, or should it be used to try to convert people to another religion? Well, my guest today, Michael Weinstein, thinks that it really is rampant in the military, or at least in the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado. He is part of a three-generation family of people serving the Air Force, his father, himself, and his two sons, and he's the author of the book, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. Michael Weinstein, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, but please call me Mikey. The only one that calls me Michael is my wife when she gets upset.
Okay, Mikey, I'm happy to call you that. We have some time. That's one of the nice things about a one-hour show. Let me start with your family and the military. I understand there are three generations there.
Right. For a Jewish-American family, it's a little bit unusual. We have three consecutive generations of Military Academy graduates. My father is a 1953 distinguished graduate from the Naval Academy. I went to the Air Force Academy, and my youngest son, who's now a first classman or senior there, is actually the sixth member of my family to go to the academy. And we've had in my immediate family, we've had over 115 years of combined active duty military service in every major combat engagement that this country's been in, from World War One to the current so-called global war on terror.
Now, your youngest son, that's Curtis?
Correct.
Or Casey? I wasn't clear. I thought like Casey was in the military, too.
Right. My oldest son graduated from the academy in 2004. That's Casey. And his wife, who's Christian, she's a non-evangelical Christian, also graduated from the Air Force Academy in 2004. And then my youngest son, who's now a senior there, a first classman, is the sixth member of my family to have gone there.
And you served the Reagan administration as a lawyer, correct?
I did, right. I spent from about mid-Reagan, first term to mid-Reagan, second term, in the executive office of the president.
Now, the Air Force Academy, is this the one in Colorado? Did you attend that and both your sons the exact same academy, or were there different trainings?
No, that's the only one. And I'm a graduate of 1977, honors graduate, which is kind of like magnum cum laude from the Air Force Academy. This issue, by the way, that you spoke about at the top of the show, I first became aware of it at the Academy, but it is pandemic throughout the entire Department of Defense. It's not just the Air Force Academy, and it certainly isn't just the Air Force. It's the Marine Corps, Navy, Army.
That's exactly one of the questions, in fact, I wanted to address, whether it's simply one wayward academy or whether it is endemic throughout the military forces. Let's start, though, with the academy that you have personal experience in, and then we'll talk about the broader questions. Now, when you were there, I guess, what are we talking about, the 80s or the 70s?
I graduated in 1977. When I was there...
1977.
Right, so I was there from 73 to 77.
Did you see any of the evangelical conduct that you talk about so much in your book when you were there?
No, I do mention for the first time going public in my book, chapters 18 through 20, a very terrible NS medic incident that happened to me, but that was not systemic. It was an anomaly. It was very serious, but this simply did not exist at that point. The first time I became aware of it was when I was in law school, a couple years after graduation. I think it was 1979, when I found out through the grapevine that taxpayer dollars were being used at a place called the Frank J. Seiler Research Lab at the Academy to try to determine whether or not a small piece of the Shroud of Turin was really the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. And I kept thinking, you got to be kidding me. What's going on here? And I was pretty much told, shut up, Lieutenant, and go back to law school. And
I could understand maybe a general university approaching any sort of intellectual question, but what does an Air Force university have to do with the Shroud of Turin?
Exactly. And that's exactly the point. But somehow, it looks like in the early 80s, like moths attracted to a flame, Mark, you know, the some of the nation's largest evangelical groups started to move into El Paso County, which is the county that comprises Colorado Springs. Today, we have over 100 of the nation's largest, right-wing evangelical groups that are all focused there. Colorado Springs is often referred to as the Protestant Vatican.
It certainly is. Actually, I regularly go to Colorado. I'm invited to the Colorado Conference on World Affairs. That's held in Boulder. And Boulder and Colorado Springs seem like, I don't know, if we ever had a Sunni and a Shiite in America.
Oh, God,
if there ever were a civil war, I think it would start between Boulder and Colorado Springs. They could not be more different. But yes, they regularly refer to people in Colorado Springs as the Evangelical Vatican. So now the Air Force happens to be located in Colorado Springs, but I assume it has people from all across the United States attending there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's harder to get into West Point, Annapolis, or the Air Force Academy than it is to get into Harvard and Yale. I mean, you need a congressional nomination, or from the president or vice president, and then after you get the nomination, you have to win an appointment. Through an extremely competitive process. It's not just academics, it's athletics, it's military, it's combative. It's very, very, very difficult. And, the three major service academies, West Point, Air Force, the Air Force Academy in Annapolis, are kind of the crown jewels in developing our officer corps. We have ROTC and we have Officer Training School for the other commissioning sources. But I first became aware of this when Mel Gibson's movie came out in February of 2004. I forget the name of it. I think I call it the Jesus Chainsaw Murders or Freddy versus, I didn't like the movie very much. And
Passion of the Christ is the name. And by the way, as a graduate of Harvard and Yale, I promise not to be offended by your comment. Go ahead. So the movie comes out, and how does that – now, is this time your older son, Casey, is there? Is your younger son there too?
Including my kids, including my future daughter-in-law. And she's a Christian. She's just a non-evangelical Christian. And I was contacted not by my three kids at the academy at the time, Mark, but by Christian, non-evangelical Christian members of the faculty saying, do you know what's going on with this movie here? And I said, what are you talking about? And during my years in the White House and in corporate life, I gave my wife and I have given a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and a lot of our support to the academy. I mean, I love the academies. I love the military just a little bit less than I love my own family. And, it's a noble and honorable institution. And I said, what are you talking about? And I didn't realize that the cadets were being marched in, like they do every day. They march into their meals into Mitchell Hall, which is the huge cavernous dining facility. It's 2 acres under one roof. They stand at attention. They would stare at their plates, and there's a flyer pushing them to go see this movie. They would go into Fairchild Hall, the gigantic academic building, and they couldn't see the walls because they were all papered with these flyers about, let's go see the
movie. Okay, but Mikey, I mean, look, a lot of people, I wasn't a big fan of the movie. I actually attacked it on this broadcast, but, it's a movie, and it's a movie that expresses a religious point of view. Okay, there are other movies at the Air Force Academy. What's so wrong with showing movies of all different viewpoints at the Air Force Academy?
This was not just a horse of a different color. This was a species of a different color. This movie was being pushed, and in many respects represents the standard bearer of the what's referred to as He's got a big, long name, but it's post-millennial Reconstructionist Dominionist Evangelical Christianity. It's a, there's 25 to 40 million Dominionist Christians in the country, and this was completely and totally over the line. This was not like saying, let's go see Borat. This was not Borat. This was the opposite.
No, I understand. Look, and I'm not defending the movie, but, you know, free speech, right? I mean, were cadets forced to see this movie? I mean, couldn't you just show a movie on any subject and let people decide whether or not they go?
The difference is when you're at the academy, you're in the military. And in the military, it's a very, very different existence than being in the – have you ever been in the military?
I have not.
It's what I refer to as the draconian specter of command influence. For instance, in the military, we actually have regulations extant that prevent superiors up and down the chain of command from pushing Mary Kay cosmetics or Tupperware or Amway products on subordinates, because it's in the military, having sexual intercourse, even consensual sexual intercourse with anyone other than your spouse, is still punishable adultery as a felony. If you're ordered to go to the base dentist at 4 p.m. and you don't go, it's a felony. It's a very, very different animal. When you start mixing politics and religion like this, it's completely, thoroughly, and totally over the line. But that was just the beginning. As I looked, I began to realize that there were flyers being put up for brown bag lunches at the academy that stated, do not take this flyer down. This is an officially sponsored U.S. Air Force Academy activity in conjunction with something called the Christian Leadership Ministries. It was attended by hundreds of officers, and it stated today's luncheon topic, why we evangelicals cannot let you have your God while we have ours. I mean, it continues on. The number one joke at the Air Force Academy in late 2003 through 2004 was, why do Jews make the best magicians? Have you heard that one, Mark?
I haven't, and I almost fear the response, but go ahead.
The response is because they have the magical ability to walk into a red brick building and come out the smokestacks in a puff of smoke. That's real funny.
Holocaust jokes.
Yes. The back page of the fully... Here's the key metric. There are 702 U.S. military installations scattered around the world in 132 countries. And on every single one of them now, there's a officers' Christian fellowship for the officers, and for the enlisted, there's a Christian military fellowship. They have a tripartite goal. There's a three-level goal that they're unabashed about. It's right on their website, and this is what they're pushing every day, as opposed to trying to support and defend the Constitution, which they believe is subordinated to the law, as they're the biblical worldview that they view, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one goal, we want to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military. Number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. Number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And every one of these bases has a fully federally funded base newspaper. At the Air Force Camp.
Well, no, wait, back up. These three goals, whose goals are they? What is the organization that has these three goals you just cited?
It's called the
OCS.
The Officers Christian Fellowship for the officers and for the enlisted folks. You understand the distinction between officers and enlisted?
I certainly do.
Okay, for the enlisted folks, it's called the Christian Military Fellowship.
And these are semi-private? I mean, are these private organizations? Are they public? Is there a mixture? Exactly, these people?
Yeah, they're basically, it's an association. Of course, they use the base facilities oftentimes. Oftentimes, they're using, sometimes they'll meet off-base, but they're oftentimes being, for instance, at the academy or many other bases, they'll meet at various places on-base. There's a tremendous nexus between federal support and what's happening. Their goal is to try it again. I can't say it better than I just said. To create a spiritually transformed U.S. military with ambassadors for Christ in uniform, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
To our listeners, if you can, exactly how non-Christians or non-evangelical Christians or Jews or non-believers or Muslims or Buddhists, how are people who are not evangelical Christians pressured by groups like the one you mentioned?
I'll give you an example. At the Air Force Academy, again, the last for the weekly base newspaper, and again, all 702 of these installations have fully federally funded papers. There, the last week before Christmas, for 10 straight years, from 1993 until 2003, when I put a stop to it in 2004, there was a full-page solicitation on the back page that stated, "We, the undersigned, are here to state that the only real hope for mankind is Jesus Christ. If you'd like to come and talk to one of us about Jesus, please do so." It was signed by 16 academic department heads or deputy heads, 9 permanent professors, the dean, the then-current dean, the current dean now, the director of athletics, the heralded football coach, head football coach, and over 200 of the most senior other people in command at the Air Force Academy and their spouses, Mark, and also included 4 of the most sectarian, vitriolic, direct quotations out of the New Testament. You don't need to have a commander come in saying...
When you say sectarian, vitriolic, you mean anti-Jewish.
Well, I mean, clearly, there is only one way through salvation. There is only one truth. The only way to avoid being sent to hell is to be born again. You know, Matthew 3:34, Matthew 10:37, Matthew 10:34.
And if you're not an evangelical Christian, as your sons obviously are not, what happens? I mean, what do people say to them? How is this pressure? I want, you know, my listeners come from all kinds of backgrounds, and
right.
and I want them to understand, you know, your perspective and your son's perspective of why is this so harmful to them?
What happened was, and again, in the book, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against the Evangelical Coup, it's 209 pages. It's a quick read, but it's also a primal scream. I very carefully lay out every little thing that happened. But basically, my kids were being called effing Jews. They were being accused of total complicity in the execution of Jesus Christ, they and their people, at numerous places, by numerous people, at numerous times at the academy. It was made very clear that they had the wrong faith, that their faith would not be helpful for advancement. It was made very clear that what we're doing in the Middle East. I'm giving an example. There was a.
Well, no, this one's interesting. When you say not helpful for their advancement, that's where I really think it clearly crosses the legal line. I certainly know a lot about sexual harassment law, and there's a fine line there. In fact, people didn't even recognize sexual harassment was a problem until the 90s. But obviously, when you have a boss that says, hey, you're not going to advance unless you do what I want, in that case, sexually, that's against the law. It would seem to me the same would be true with regard to religious conversion.
Mark, I'll tell you something. You can't even do that if you're a shift manager at Starbucks or if you work at Walgreens or Wendy's.
That's true.
Violation of Title VII of the U.S.
That's right.
And even if it's without specific intent, there's disparate treatment versus disparate impact. You don't even have to have specific intent. This would last in the private sector about 3 seconds because corporations and CEOs would fall to their knees, terrified they would be sued, and they would be. But it's a million.
So give me some examples of where personal advancement was considered a problem because of religion.
Well, let me give you an example. There was a two-star general at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. In May of this year, he sent out a mass email to a bunch of his academy classmates and other officers under his command, of which there were hundreds, including civilian contractors and some of the large defense contractors, indicating that another general, both of these happened to be Air Force Academy grads, was running for Congress in, of all places, the 5th Congressional District in Colorado Springs, which has never sent a Democrat to Congress, on official email saying that we needed more Christian men in Congress, saying it would be really great if we could all contribute and help out General Bentley Rayburn, who just retired, and get to win this nomination and get to Congress. He attached a PDF file for a contribution form on a government email system during the workday. Do you know what kind of pressure that brings? When that man controls your life, every little...
Well, that's against the Hatch Act. I know, as a matter of fact, that you can't... This is totally apart from religion, folks. In the government, if you work in the government in some civil service agency, maybe handing out Social Security checks or something like that, and your boss says, I want you to support the Republican or the Democratic candidate, that's a violation of the Hatch Act. That's against the law in the civil service. We have to be careful about that. I would think it's against the law in the military as well.
Oh, it's against a million different laws. Now, I can also
So what happened to that general? Was he fired?
There's been an investigation, and apparently nothing happened. Remember, every single time that we've raised an issue, we had a 14-page letter that went to Rumsfeld. I work in conjunction with Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. That's why I formed my foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which can be found at militaryreligiousfreedom.org, shameless plug. There's lots of good organizations out there, the ADL, the ACLU, People for the American Way, but none of them focus with, again, laser-like precision on what's left of the wall, which is smoke and debris separating church and state, in what I refer to, and this is important for your listeners, as the technologically most lethal organization ever created by humankind, which is the U.S. military. What do you do when you have a three-star general at a major Air Force command with 75,000 people under his command who directs his subordinates to put together, of course, at taxpayer expense, a PowerPoint presentation that he wants all 75,000 to check off that they've seen, showing the direct correlation between the Book of Revelation and all of our movements, our military moves in Iraq and...
Whoa. He puts out a power presentation that was an evangelical presentation, and he wants every one of the 75,000 people that work for him to check off whether they've seen it or not?
Now, fortunately, we got that stopped before it went out to too many people, and they covered it up. And, of course, this is... How about this? I'm sure you've heard of Dr. James Dobson and his group.
I certainly have, and my listeners have as well.
Right, and focus on the fascists, or I mean, focus on the family in Colorado Springs. When he opened up his facility on 50 acres in 1993, right across the highway from the Air Force Academy, within direct view, the Air Force Academy thought it'd be a great gesture to have its famous, fully federally funded cadet parachute jump team, the Wings of Blue, parachute softly out of the azure blue Colorado Springs sky, carrying the keys of heaven. And they carried the keys of heaven. They landed on the front lawn of Focus on the Family, gathered up their parachutes, and marched in formation and presented Dr.
No way.
The keys of heaven.
No way. The Air Force Academy brought the keys of heaven to James Dobson.
Yes, and with their parachute team, they delivered the keys of heaven to Dr. Dobson. This is the tip of the iceberg. I can go on and on. What do you do when you have a four-star general who commands another gigantic air command with 80,000 people, strongly suggesting, quote unquote, that his all of his folks, if they even have to take leave, go drive 130 miles to a big Christian, evangelical Christian weekend festival called Creation Fest, which is celebrating the fact that the world is about 2,500 years younger than our science has conclusively proven that the Babylonians and Sumerians have learned to brew beer, and that negative RSVPs will be taken. What do you do when Jewish personnel are told they have to take paid leave to go to the base chapel for Yom Kippur? You go on and on.
Well, I'm just going to ask that. I mean, obviously, you know, if Christians can get leave to go hear Dobson, I would assume that Jews can get leave to you know, practice their holiest day, and that they could get off for Yom Kippur. Does that happen?
We don't do that for Ash Wednesday or Good Friday. That's not the way it's done. Every time this was brought to me, I get contacted by sailors, soldiers, Marines, and airmen around the clock, 24/7, and here's the big sea change. 96% roughly of the people that come to me that are being tormented, Mark, are Christians, three-fourths of whom are traditional Protestants, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, even Assemblies of God, Baptists.
Interesting. What are Christians complaining about?
Well, I'm about to get one-fourth of them are Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholics and the non-evangelicals are being told that you're not Christian enough, ergo you're going to burn eternally in hell along with the Jews. You're not really Christians. The Catholics are told unless you have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, then your religion is a fallacy. The other Christians are being told you are not really Christian. And this is something they've never seen before. Now, the other 4 or 5% will be Jewish or Jain or Wiccan, you know, Buddhist, Islamic, whatever. But my daughter-in-law, a practicing Christian, was asked by a one-star general at the academy. I say asked, but, you know, when a one-star general, quote, asks you to do something, she was requested to go out and harvest non-Christian cadets to bring them to an Eastertime passion play at Ted Haggard's church, New Life. You know, I've had a lot of fights with Ted Haggard until everything blew up with him a couple weeks ago.
And Ted Haggard, for those who may not remember, is the evangelical featured in Jesus Camp who just recently was caught with a gay prostitute and a methamphetamine purchase and is no longer there. But go ahead.
Well, he complained even to Ariel Sharon 2 weeks before Sharon had his stroke that I was causing him a lot of trouble, and that if they couldn't rein me in somehow, that they were going to have to pull their support, the New Life Church. He, of course, has been the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Look, we're in a war. This is an absolute war by Dominionist Christians. They view the Constitution as being an impediment, as being subordinated to their particular biblical worldview, and they are completely and totally focused on one thing, and that is converting everyone to that view. When you're in the military, the current regulations that are out there now allow superiors to evangelize and proselytize subordinates as long as they do so, you know, non-coercively and with sensitivity.
Wait. You regulations, Army regulations permit generals, anyone in the military, to evangelize subordinates working for them? That's what...
Mark, I want you to put on your Levine seatbelt for a second. On Tuesday, July 12th, last year, on the front page of the newspaper most reviled by the Pentagon, and you know what that paper would be.
Army Times? Oh, New York Times, of course.
The New York Times. The U.S. Air Force made the astonishing statement through the mouth of its number two ranking general, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, and the Chaplain's Corps, that it was the U.S. Air Force's policy to reserve its right to evangelize anyone it determined to be unchurched. Now, you take a look at the operational definitions in that particular juxtaposition in that sentence of the nouns and verbs. My wife and I raised our hands and said, excuse me, we have three kids on active duty in the U.S. Air Force, one who's been told to get ready to go to Iraq. Do our kids fall on this Richard Nixon era enemies list of being, quote, unchurched? And if so, are you, U.S. Air Force, going to exercise your reserve right to evangelize them? It's unbelievable. We have a situation at Fort Leonard Wood. Let me just finish. In Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, where the Army kids fresh out of school or fresh out of high school go through their 6 weeks of basic training. They only get one day off. It's the day before graduation. Unless they agree on the weekends to go to the a gigantic mega evangelical church nearby, which picks them up on buses. The Army strongly encourages that they go. They get to have pizza and Coke, then they get to be evangelized. And if you don't go, you're told by the drill sergeants that you will stay behind and you will clean up after the good Christians who do go.
No way. This is amazing stuff, folks, and particularly amazing because Mikey Weinstein is a former Reagan attorney. He's not only, of course... He's a Republican. His father was in the Naval Academy. His two sons are in the Air Force. He was in the Air Force Academy himself. This is a proud Republican, someone who's proud to be in the military, and he's telling you this story. Friends, it's an amazing one. We're going to get right back. We've got to take a quick break. If you want to call in and ask Mikey Weinstein any questions, he is the expert. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing. At irs.gov, or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've heard troubles about evangelism in our schools, about the government trying to encourage kids to accept a certain religion. And people go to court, and it's generally kept out. But what about the military, where you have a ranking system, a hierarchy, where people are really afraid to say no? I mean, even in the workplace, the civil workplace, it's very hard to say no to your boss. How would you feel if your boss were a general with complete control over your lives and was trying to get you to accept a religion that you did not support? Apparently, it is rampant in the military, and my guest today, Mikey Weinstein, has seen it with both his sons and has even filed a lawsuit to try to stop this behavior. He's a former attorney for the Reagan administration. So, you know, Republicans, you can't condemn his bona fides regarding that, but he's very, very upset about these practices. Folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Dave in California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Thank you. And, Mikey, I gather you're aware, at least indirectly, that you are speaking for all three of the academies, that there is a serious effort afoot to turn this country, I guess, into a theocracy.
Correct.
So, Dave, just to be clear, it's not just the Air Force. I mean, you've seen these incidents, the Marines, the Naval Forces, the Army, all for all of them.
Yes, the term I use is that it's basically really an imperious contagion of the unconstitutional, you know, fascistic triumphalism.
Dave, you got a question?
Well, the thought that's in my head, and I don't know if you'd have an opinion on it, is this part of the fascist movement that religion is the opiate of the masses. If we can bring everybody into this belief system, that we'll be able to better control them, or are they actually believers in this nonsense?
You know, the problem is, it's a very good question, but I'm not sure the answer is as critical what I'm trying to explain in the book is that, you know, this is a problem that I consider to be at least as serious to our national security as Al-Qaeda is. You know, most of our senior military commanders at this point, and they hide it very well, and it's a very hard thing to show because they'll just sit there and deny it. They don't see us as being in what's referred to as the AOR. For the listeners of your show, that's the military jargon for Iraq and Afghanistan, AOR, Area of Responsibility. They don't see us for being in Iraq or Afghanistan for geopolitical reasons. They see us there as the fulfillment of biblical mandate. So
our job, wait, is it to convert all the Iraqis and Afghanis to Christianity?
The problem is
that really what they're thinking?
If the Air Force says that it is our policy to reserve a right to evangelize the unchurched, you tell me what the insurrectionists, the jihadists, Bin Laden, Zarqawi, his followers, I know that he's dead, or, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran, or Hezbollah, Hamas, what do you think they're going to think? When they hear the Bush administration say we're coming to bring democracy, they hear we're coming to bring Christianity. Their version of...
Well, and I remember when George Bush mentioned it was a crusade, that was a particularly bad choice of words. And, of course, we've had generals there that believe in this kind of conversion. To what extent, and it sort of goes with Dave's question, but how high up does it go? I mean, if it's happening in all military branches, clearly the Joint Chiefs of Staff know. Does the president know this is going on?
Well, the president, it starts with him. I mean, he's the commander-in-chief. Let me tell you something. You mentioned crusaders. I wonder how your listeners would like to know that at Cannon Air Force Base in my home state of New Mexico, in Clovis, New Mexico, we have the 523rd Attack F-16 Fighter Squadron called the Crusaders. Their patch has a giant crucifix on it with a Crusader's broadsword and a Crusader's helmet surrounded by three yellow stars in the shape of a crucifix for the Trinity. Now, you tell me how stupid that is.
Wow.
I mean, that
not only is it unconstitutional, but you're right, it's idiotic. We're trying to go into Iraq, we're trying to persuade them that it's not a religious war, that it's all about democracy, and then we're going there with crosses?
Amazing. It is absolutely, the problem is that they see this, again, as the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Book of Revelation, which is a great five-part passion play. The problem is, the Jewish people disappear in the fourth part. No Jews go to heaven. They're forcibly converted,
right,
or they burn eternally in the lake of fire. Look, I've had senior people in the U.S. Air Force tell me, under my promise of confidentiality, that they don't understand why we're fighting them. They have the cure for cancer. They don't realize that when they say that, they make any other faith, including non-evangelical Christianity, appear to be cancer. They've told me, look, Dr. Seuss, you know, Gandhi, Einstein, and even little Anne Frank are burning eternally in the lake of fire because they didn't accept, accept the Lord's perspective as we see it. That's exactly.
I have to say, that doesn't sound too different from the worldview of Osama bin Laden, frankly,
no, like
for that matter.
Islam. It's just like Wahhabism. They're two sides of the same coin, and that's precisely why it's so dangerous. And most of America lies supine and docile and is watching the NFL, or they're watching, Dancing with the Stars. And as T.S. Eliot stated, the end of the world shall come not with a bang, but with a whimper.
So now, why hasn't this been reported very much? I remember, by the way, I heard about your lawsuit. I haven't heard a lot about it. I did see a little bit in the press. I assume you're trying to get more attention to it.
Well, I mean, listen, I've been on every TV show, every cable and terrestrial show, tons of radio. I mean, if you go to our website, militaryreligiousfreedom.org, you will see where everything is. We have the book out. We now have a film deal with the book. But trying to break through and get traction, you know, is difficult. Look, I mean, the Bush administration has turned our honorable and noble armed forces into a faith-based initiative, and there's only one particular faith that is recognized as being the correct faith, and it's very hard when you confront them. They'll sit there and they'll run back under the skirts of the Constitution, saying, "What are you talking about?" It's like a mugging on the streets of Washington D.C. They'll stretch out the yellow tape, the cops will, the crime scene tape, and they'll tell the passersby, "Move on, move on. There's nothing to see, nothing to see." When the Air Force investigated the Air Force Academy, they came back and said, "There's a little insensitivity here. They're a little confused. They just need a little guidance. Nothing, no big deal, no big deal. Just move on, move on." What do you do when Jewish cadets were told to get off a bus because they didn't want to listen to right-wing Christian radio in Colorado Springs? The bus driver told them to get off if they didn't like it. Well, he yelled at them, "What, are your mommies and daddies members of the ACLU?" And as I said before, wow. But it's not a Christian-Jewish thing. It's an evangelical Christian versus the Constitution thing.
I understand Dave has one more question. Let me just let him ask that, and then thank you for your call, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Ask you one last question.
Well, Mikey, I think you're seeing it clearly, and I suppose you're even aware that it's on a much greater dimension. This administration, a Constitution which guarantees rights to the citizens, is an inconvenience that they want to be rid of.
You're right, Dave, and I'll tell you something. I am not trying to take anybody's warm, cuddly Jesus teddy bear or Moses teddy bear away from them. I'm saying, look, these people believe that they have an illimitable right 24/7 to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as they see it. If we weren't talking about the freedom of religion, but instead we're talking about the freedom of speech, they would demand the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. All we're saying is, look, there's a time and a place. Your own private voluntary services, you know, you can say whatever you want to do. But what do you do when you have the Air Force Chaplain of the Year, Major Chappie Warren Watiste, getting up in front of 700 of the incoming basic cadets at the academy, which comprised half the class in 2004, and at a supposedly voluntary ecumenical Protestant worship service, launches into a fire and brimstone lecture, which is fine, and then at the end of it, he orders them to go and to leave the service immediately and go over to the bivouac tents where the other half of the classes that didn't want to come to the service, demand to get in the faces of their classmates, to immediately demand to know what their personal religious faiths are. If they're not born again Christians, they are to be evangelized on the spot, and if they refuse to be evangelized, they are ordered to be told that the penalty for that apostasy is that they will burn eternally in the fires of hell. That happened, and it's continuing to happen over
now,
and over.
Now, Mikey,
and over.
You filed a lawsuit to stop this. What's going on with your legal battle?
The lawsuit was dismissed 2.5 weeks ago on technicalities for lack of standing. It's very hard to find people that want to come forward. I came forward with taxpayer standing. We had four brave young lieutenants that had just graduated from the academy, and the judge said, "Okay, well, you allege a lot of things that happened at the academy, but these are officers now. They're not there anymore." It's much like
could your son have standing, Curtis? He's there.
Yeah,
or is that really hard on him?
Okay, it's both. He has standing, and you know what? Our family has fought as hard as we can. I can't put that on him when he's still in the system there. It's very much as if, Mark, you and I were in a penitentiary someplace, and we knew the Crips and the Bloods were running it. We knew that the guards knew that, then the warden knew that. But for us to file a lawsuit while we're still in the pen saying the Crips and Bloods run it, well, what do you think is going to happen to us if we do that?
Could you get an anonymous cadet? I mean, I know the famous case of Roe v. Wade. I mean, Roe, of course, is Jane Roe, is not
right,
her real name.
But at this point, I mean, you have to figure that we've done everything we can now. We expect to be coming back into court with a bevy of new causes of action very, very, very shortly. But I have three Weinstein kids in the Air Force right now. They're like tarantulas on wedding cakes. Everyone knows who they are. Everyone knows who their father is. You know, we've created this entire foundation. We have many. We have former four-star generals and three-star admirals. Ambassador Joe Wilson is on our advisory board. Valerie Plame, his wife, is a huge supporter. We have the former CEO and publisher of both the Denver Post and Los Angeles Times on our advisory board. We're trying to say, wake up, America. We are losing it. There is no wall separating church and state right now. We've created a theocracy where all the atom and hydrogen bombs are.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to deal as much as Mike is wanting to talk about, and he's pretty open with the troubles that his sons face because of his trying to blow the whistle on the military. Folks, if you want to call in, toll-free number is 888 888- 888 Mark, 888-488-6275 or 877-4HEAD-ON. You can also comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. I can read your comments on the air. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? Hi. My name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading, and when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing evangelism, religious conversion attempts in the military, a military that's actually supporting one faith against another. Not just Christians and Jews, folks, but within Christianity, supporting evangelical Christians against other Christians and certainly against non-believers. My guest is Michael Weinstein. He's the author of With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. He's a former attorney working for Ronald Reagan. He's a Republican, but he's very, very strong on this issue. Mikey, we already have listeners in the chat room that accompanies this show asking about your book. Where can someone get your book? Amazon or somewhere else?
It should be at every Borders and Barnes & Noble, but certainly on Amazon. Yeah, they can get it on Amazon. And there's another book with a very similar name. name. They have to make sure they look under my name, and also the subtitle is, you know, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. But Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble.
And the author is Michael Weinstein. Sarge from Mississippi, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thank you, Sarge.
I wanted to comment. I'm an Air Force veteran as well as a Navy vet. And I wanted to ask you, why don't you have your son or talk to your son about going into some ROTC program, staying away from that Air Force Academy with those type of conditions?
Well, that's a really good question. Let me answer it that way. The matriarch of our family, the Weinstein family, passed away here in New Mexico last summer. She was 91 years old, and she was a Holocaust survivor. She was filmed by Steven Spielberg. They did 4 hours worth of her testimony. About 6 or 7 days, Sarge, before she passed away, I went to see her, and she looked at me, and she had a very strong German accent. You know, she'd lived in Berlin for many years, and she said, you know, Mikey, don't give up this fight, because I remember living in Berlin in the late 30s when the first pronouncements came down from the Third Reich that Jews had to have all the same alphanumerics on their license plates, and then they said that Jews could, you know, the next laws came down saying that Jews could not congregate in groups of more than 100 or 50 or 30 or 20. She said before we knew it, it was all gone. But the reason, let me answer your question this way. She was, my great aunt Herta was very angry at our family because we took her driver's license away from her when she was, you know, 88. She was just too old to drive anymore. And, you know, she never really forgave the family for that. She was really angry with us. And I, on behalf of the family, I approached her 6 days before she passed away. And I knew she was dying, and she knew she was dying. And I said, look, would you please, you know, great aunt Herta, would you please forgive us for taking your driver's license away? We did it for your own safety. We always made sure that we always had a driver. We always drove her wherever she needed to go. But I said, why is it that you were so so angry with us for taking your driver's license away? And she looked at me, and I could see her eyes kind of glossed over. She said, because when you're a Jew, you always have to be ready to get away. We're not doing that anymore. There's no place to get away. This is our country, and it's our military academies. It's our military, and no one should ever have to feel we have to get away again. We're not going to surrender. We're going to go back and take the Constitution into where the Constitution should be first and foremost, which is our armed forces.
Well, there is one more question I want to ask, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you on the radio on this.
Go ahead, Sarge.
As a veteran myself, especially an Air Force veteran, what can we veterans do to remedy the situation?
Great question. Yes, well, what can veterans do to help you out, Mikey?
The best thing I can say to do is this. We have formed the weapon, and it's my nonprofit foundation. All donations are completely tax deductible, and you have to just go on the web at www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. I think we charge $25 to join or make a contribution, and this allows us, our number one mission is to litigate, number two is to educate, but basically, Mark and Sarge, we're now out of the business in my foundation of comforting those who are afflicted, and we are in the business of afflicting those who are comfortable.
Sarge, thank you very much for your call. We also have a website where people can post on blogs and make comments. And I have Robert has written in, and he's in Nebraska, and he writes a very good question about the general conflict between the military and religion. And Robert wants to know, for example, you know, do Arab armies, if they have to pray five times a day, that must get in the way of their military? And Robert, there's a very famous case in the 80s against the then Secretary of Defense Weinberger regarding, I remember, a Jewish man who's a medic, and he wanted to wear his yarmulke, his kippah, his head covering, and they said he couldn't, but they couldn't find sort of any military reason why he couldn't, and the court ruled against him that the military actually trumped his religion, and then Congress passed a law, to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that would let him have certain religious comforts in the military. So I think it's a very tough question. Clearly, it seems to me, individuals should be able to practice their religion to the extent that it does not impinge on someone else. I don't think anyone would argue that a young man can't carry a Bible with him, you know, and read it when it's not on military duty, things like that. But when they start to convert others or try to impinge their religious views on others, that, I think, is the crux of the problem. I want to know if Mikey agrees with me.
No, I completely agree. As a matter of fact, I forget that my mind suddenly turned into a wall, but that gentleman contacted me, the one that was the subject of that lawsuit, expressing support.
Was it Stanley V. Weinberger? I think that was his name. I'm trying to remember. I read it in law school.
Yeah, I forget his name. I know that I've gotten wonderful support from Jimmy Carter, you know, who I didn't vote for Carter because I was afraid he wouldn't be able to recognize the difference because, you know, the separation of church and state. And he said, you know, keep fighting, Mikey, and I'll keep fighting, too. The reason why is, you know, we've seen this train leave the station before. Historically, whenever a radicalized version of Christianity has engaged the machinery of the state, we've not ended up with little, you know, creeks or rivers or ponds. We've ended up with oceans and oceans of blood. This has happened over and over again. We've seen the train leave the station, and it always goes to one town, Mark, and that's Slaughterville.
Well, I think, though, Mikey, Robert does raise an interesting point, and I think it is a balancing test. I mean, for example, I would hope, maybe you disagree with me, but if it's Yom Kippur and, you know, it's not active, obviously you got to fight it. If you're in Iraq and people are shooting at you, you don't take off. But I would hope that a Jewish person on Yom Kippur, if they have nothing, you know, planned that day, could get a day off, just like I would hope a Christian could get a day off to go to church if there's no other military responsibility. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
I completely agree. What I'm saying is, look, we keep saying that there's a time and a place. This is within the commander's discretion. Just like if a soldier and his wife, or if the soldier is the wife, has a baby, you give time together. When people change military stations, they're usually given 2 weeks off to get settled, or if they're having a particular illness in the family. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when you're using command influence to push a specific religious worldview.
Just to be clear, you're not complaining about religion in the military.
No.
You're complaining about evangelism, conversion,
yes.
Trying to require other people to join your religion in the military.
We're simply saying there's a time and a place. Look, we have thousands of chaplains in the military. They conduct millions, you know, like hundreds of thousands of services. That's fine. The difference is when in our lawsuit, we only asked for two things from the federal court. The first thing was that the court intervene in the U.S. Air Force and force the Air Force to treat religion to religion neutrally, and even the concept of religion to know religion neutrally, which is right out of 80 straight years of black letter case law from the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's the second
thing. No question about it.
The second thing we asked is that the federal courts force the Air Force to ensure that no Air Force member during the duty day or duty night could ever again involuntarily, against their will, be evangelized, proselytized, coerced, pressured, or exhorted to change their faith on duty. That's all we're saying, is that there's a time and a place. You can't do that when someone's on the job. And certainly, you know, when they're involved in handling extremely destructive, you know, weapon systems, and it's just you and the kind of violence.
Now, the military claim, now they will come right out. I just want to be clear on this, because you know, they may say, oh, well, that's just, you know, a few people that are run amok. Has the military taken a position, a clear legal position, that we have the right to evangelize on duty? Have they responded in that way?
Listen, you know that if they're going to make an official statement in the New York Times, it has to be fully vetted. When they made the statement, we reserve our right to evangelize anyone we determine to be unchurched, that's when I went to war. For 88 days, I pounded them in the press, the electronic and print media, basically demanding three things. Take it back. Three-word statement. Take it back. That cannot be what your position is. They didn't take it back. We went to court, and then 8 days, one Hanukkah after we filed the lawsuit, I thought they might want to enter into a stipulated agreement to settle this. It was ridiculous and disgraceful that I had to sue. They didn't. We stayed in court for 55 weeks, and now we'll be going back in again very shortly.
So tell me, the Jewish students there on the Air Force, I mean, are they bonding together? Are they afraid? Do they have their own organizations trying to protect
right now,
them?
The Air Force Academy itself is very much, I think it's fair to say that they appear to be good little boys and girls, and that's because, look, you know, they're following what I refer to as the flying donkey theory, which is when a donkey flies, Mark, you don't expect it to stay up very long. You know, I've got a tremendous, I've got thousands of eyes and ears, most of them Christian, you know, in the military, many of them at senior levels that tell me.
So they're watching it. They're being careful.
Oh, they're being very, very careful. I was working with ABC's Primetime Live. We were a year ago trying to do a sting operation, but they found all the offenders, but they said, Mikey, you've got them so scared, they're way down in their holes, it'll be months before they come out again. But if you
Well, it sounds like you need to do a sting operation somewhere else. Where is, if not in Colorado Springs now, who are the worst offenders now?
Well, it's ubiquitous. I really can't tell. I can't point out, and I wouldn't in this show. I don't want to tip anybody off, but it's evenly.
Give me some examples without saying where of some other stuff going on in Marines or Naval or Army Academy.
You have a situation where you have members of the military that are coming to chaplains for assistance, and they pour their hearts out to the chaplain, and the chaplains will smile very nicely for an hour, and then jump around the table, grab them by their shoulders, and say, "Fall to your knees and be baptized a second time. Be slain in the spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, or we cannot help you." They're not being afforded help by chaplains unless they convert on the spot. You have members of the military that are signing decrees with evangelical entities claiming that they will convert. They'll bring another 100, 200, 300 sailors, Marines, soldiers, airmen to Christ before their enlistment or before their term is up. Let me just read this one to you. This is from a book now by Lauren Lauren Sandler. It's called Righteous Dispatches from the Evangelical Youth Movement. This is the best example I can give. Out of the book, she states that more than a year after officials promised to investigate religious intolerance at the Air Force Academy, we now know that three-fourths of the cadets call themselves evangelical Christians. Senior Master Sergeant Wayne Babb says military life merely camouflages his true job. Quote, if you're a Christian, being in the military is the very best way to be on that missionary field. We're put out there on the U.S. government dime. They house us, they feed us, and they pay us to be missionaries on the front line. We all know that's what we're there for. We all know what's really behind this war in Iraq. And that's what I see over and over and over again, Mark.
Friends, I want you to imagine that you are a cadet in, or maybe even a National Guard person, not even thinking you would be in Iraq, but you're sitting in Iraq, you've got people dying all around you, you've got your best friend maybe killed, you're afraid of bombs, and someone says, hey, you know, this is the time, under this pressure, that you need to convert. I want you to think about that when you think about this evangelism in the military. It's not just in our academies, it's in the trenches. And we need a military where people can come together as Americans of all stripes, of all races, of all religions, and not being converted in the trenches because they're afraid of death. My friends, this is exactly what we have to oppose, and I have to give all credit and kudos to Michael Weinstein for all the terrific work he's doing, both in his lawsuits and in his book. It's With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. Check it out at Borders or Amazon. Wherever you want, it's a fascinating book. Get it now. Michael Weinstein, thank you very much for coming here on The Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, tomorrow, folks, we've got the Week in Review. I'm going to tell you a number of things, including why I oppose Jack Murtha to be the majority leader. I think, actually, Steny Hoyer is the better guy. Lots of things to talk about. Don't miss The Inside Scoop tomorrow. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical. All that's left is the truth. And now here's...
Well, hello today. Another great day. Still feeling the absolute euphoria. Yes, indeed. Are you? Of course, we're starting in terms of what and what committees and all that. A very interesting process going on. Also very interesting to see what's going on inside minds of the neocons, the Republicans, they're imploding. What do you think? Hey, we're so glad to have you along with us today. Waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples, folks all across the country and all around the world. We want to say a special hello to Finland right now. Just got an email from them there. So, and our friends in Korea. Boy, some of you folks keep some odd hours. The folks that listen overseas, due to have all of you along coming from other cultures, other nations, a lot of expats around the world, some of you, and I do enjoy that, and I hope you'll keep letting us keep sending those emails. I enjoy getting them from you. Finding out, it's always interesting to know what is happening in other countries. The attitudes of other countries, people seem to have detected quite a change here. Emails congratulating us, other. Well, like Wizard of Oz program, I can't think of the name of the song exactly, but something or other, it's being dead. And that's exactly what we've got, right? Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. And I kind of feel that way, and I still feel that way. We got feeling really good over it, and I know most of you are as well. And the internecine warfare taking place right now inside the... Who's going to end up with control of that interest there? I didn't think they would have such a wide-open war, but they most certainly in the program. Many things to talk about today. We're going to touch on Joe Lieberman. We've got a good guest coming up at this hour, a lady by the name of Dorothy Fall that's written a tremendous book. To the, how Iran, the Iraq War, Bush's Iraq War, and up against one another. Very interesting comparison between the very close parallels in many, many different ways. Joining us today on the program, as always, it is a talk show, and I expect 546-5254, 8665. You'll have to excuse me this week. Ah, yes, this is the big week. It's the Ohio State-Michigan week, and I know we've got lots of listeners in Ohio. Buckeye fans, the number one team in the nation, by the way, and up in that place up north of Ohio there. I can't think of the name. Yellow one.